Reach Deep. Joining us now, he is in Boston getting set for game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, Dan Rosen of NHL.com. How's it going, Dan?
Good, guys. How are you?
Quite well, thanks. So, game 4 will be remembered as the one Ryan O'Reilly maybe took hold of the series for the St. Louis Blues. How do you kind of handicap this series moving forward?
Well, I mean, it's kind of dependent on the Bruins' defense at this point, I think. Zdeno Chara, if he has a broken jaw and is unable to play game 5 or the rest of the series, that certainly impacts the Bruins in a drastic way in all facets of their game and, with the reach that Chara has. In fact, just look at O'Reilly's winning goal, his second goal in game 4. That Pietrangelo takes that shot, but that's Chara's side, and McAvoy had just come on the ice, and so Chara would have been coming on the ice too. And you figure even it probably wouldn't have been a slow change for the Bruins because they would have had everything in order instead of playing with 5D, and Chara might have been able to use his reach to block that shot, sort of how he blocked the shot to get the puck in the face, and maybe that goal doesn't happen. So losing Zdeno Chara, if he's out, that's a big loss for the Bruins, and it certainly impacts them. So you have to take that into account. Now, Boston has 2 of 3 at home, so that's the good thing. And I predicted them to win at 7, and I'm sticking with that prediction because here we are at 2-2. But frankly, if you take the injuries aside, the team that has forechecked better in this series or, on the flip side, broken the puck out better to break the forecheck has won each game. And so that's really, to me, what it comes down to is who is better at forechecking versus who is better at breaking the puck out. And whoever breaks the puck out is going to be the team that forechecks better, too, at times. So the team that does that, to me, is the team that wins. But the Chara injury, if, in fact, he is to miss Game 5, does play a significant role for the Bruins.
Yeah, if he does miss the game, he eats about 23 to 25 minutes a game, depending on the game. And Matt Grzelcyk has not been cleared officially yet either. So who do you expect to step up, or who are you going to be watching to step up if neither of those guys can go?
Well, the thing that will be interesting to me, if Grzelcyk does get clear, that's going to be interesting. He practiced today. He spoke to us from the podium today, which is something you wouldn't normally have a guy who's not going to play game 5 speak in front of the media. But, I mean, he hasn't been officially cleared yet. He's still technically in the concussion protocol, according to Bruce Cassidy. My opinion, I think he plays tomorrow, Grzelcyk. So certainly we'll be watching him if he is in the lineup. But otherwise, I'm looking at Brandon Carlo. I think Brandon Carlo and Charlie McAvoy too, but certainly Brandon Carlo is going to have to play a huge role. He's got that reach. He's 6'5". He is the mini version of Chara on the Bruins, and only because he's 4 inches shorter at 6'5". So he's a big dude. I think he and Torey Krug have to have monster games for the Bruins. And same with Charlie McAvoy. I mean, they're going to ride those three guys in particular if Chara is not able to play, even if Grzelcyk comes back, because then you have Grzelcyk coming off of an injury coming back in. You've got Connor Clifton, who you're not going to ride, and John Moore, who would have to probably bump up to play in Chara's spot with McAvoy, but still you're not going to want to ride a John Moore. So you're riding McAvoy, Carlo, and Krug. But Carlo, because of his size, I think is the one I really am going to keep an eye on.
It does feel like if the Bruins are to win this series, given the injuries they've got on the back end, it's a chance for Tuukka Rask to really cement himself as the Conn Smythe winner.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Bruins win the series, you're right. I mean, Tuukka Rask might have to steal one of these games. And he hasn't done that yet. Neither goalie has in this series. But if you look up and down the list, and we were doing this earlier, I mean, a bunch of writers did something with the NHL Network too. You look up and down the list for the St. Louis Blues, who's the Conn Smythe favorite right now? Pretty hard to determine. You can make a case for a lot of different guys, yeah. And I can give you cons for a lot of different guys. If you look up and down the Bruins, it's one guy. To me, it's one guy. It's Rask. And Torey Krug's been great. Marchand's had production, but that line hasn't produced yet in this series. But Rask has been so big for them throughout the entire playoffs, and he hasn't had a bad game yet in the Stanley Cup Final, whereas the other guy did. Jordan Binnington did. So, but I think if the Bruins are going to win, I think Rask might, you look for games where a goalie's going to have to steal it. If Chara's not in and Grizzly's coming back, or even if he's not in and let's say Steven Kampfer has to go, I think you're going to look for Tuukka Rask to maybe steal one tomorrow night.
On the other side, the St. Louis Blues, we saw what Ryan O'Reilly can do when he's on his game. He was a man on a mission in the last game. Looking at him as a player compared to his experiences in Colorado and of course, Buffalo, where people are starting to question whether he kind of had that loser mentality to a certain extent. Can you win with this guy? Has he changed that full circle for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's in the Stanley Cup final. He just scored 2 goals to help his team win game 40, even the series. I think he's a winner. He has. He never really – the Colorado teams didn't quite ever really get going with him there. Not totally his fault. Buffalo did not have, you know, the depth of the talent really around him and Jack Eichel to get going in those 3 seasons he was there. But you understand, like I just wrote about him, you understand the feeling that Ryan O'Reilly must have had. 9 seasons in the NHL, made the playoffs twice, didn't get out of the first round, was dead last in the league last year. He had lost his passion for the game a little bit, not his love, but the passion that he had to win. And he said it last year on breakup day in Buffalo, and he said, like, I got to get that back. Like, playing not to lose is not good enough, or just playing to play is not good enough. And, you know, the trade ignited him. There's no question about it. And then here he is 2.5 months into the season, and his team's in dead last again. And he was looking around and saying, is it me? Am I the problem? And, you know, they started to play better. He had, by the way, 35 points in 37 games, and they were in dead last. So he wasn't the problem. But you have to, I mean, human nature allows you to question yourself. Is it me? Am I the, what's wrong here? Am I the loser? And, you know, obviously things turned around. You know, the team got better. Binnington came in. Team started to play better. They adopted Berube's system. Everything worked. And there, here we are. So it wasn't Ryan O'Reilly. I don't think it's ever been Ryan O'Reilly. His game has rubbed off on a lot of different guys on this team. His work ethic has. I overheard a few guys saying that after practice, it's like going to the Ryan O'Reilly hockey school because he just does drills and constantly works on them throughout, you know, at the end of practice too.
Yeah, and we know how much that's rubbed off on Vlad Tarasenko as well. Dan Rosen is joining us here on Reach Deep. So stepping away from the Stanley Cup final a little bit, Dan, the rumor mill is buzzing. The silly season has started just a little over 2 weeks out from the draft here in Vancouver. Is the hype for real this year? I feel like we answer this question or ask this question every season. But it does feel with some of the RFAs and the tight cap situation for a lot of teams that maybe the trade rumor mill is right to be hyped up this season.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I obviously none of us know for sure right now, but I think we're going to see some trades. I think we're going to see some big names moved. I think we're going to – I don't know that it's going to be, you know, a ton. Last year, there were 30 trades from the end of the Stanley Cup final, the day after the Stanley Cup final ended, to the day before free agency opened. There were 30 trades, and there were some interesting names moved, Galchenyuk, Domi, Grubauer, you know, and then eventually O'Reilly on July 1st. I know I'm missing a few as well. But this year, we could see some bigger names. We could see Kessel. We could see Subban, you know, PK. You know, we could see some trades here that, you know, shake us, you know, shake the system a little bit, which is always what we want to see. You know, it makes it way more interesting. But I do think we're going to get some news. I think it's going to be interesting around the draft, too, before and after as well. And then there's obviously some free agents where you're wondering where they're going to go to. So I think the rumor mill is hot. It's good that it's hot. It keeps everything interesting away from the Stanley Cup final too. And then it really bleeds right into the off season to make it, you know, that first couple of weeks of the off season, I think are going to be pretty exciting.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by Dan Rosen of NHL.com. And Dan, one of the names that I'm keeping a close eye on is Jacob Trouba, of course, the Winnipeg Jets.
He's another one I should have mentioned,
But, you know, what's it going to take to get a player like that? If Winnipeg decides that they want to move on and it doesn't seem like a contract can be had there, what are we realistically looking at when it comes to that player? Because he's on the top of the list for a lot of GMs out there right now.
I would say a first-round pick and a player who's pretty good player, you know, a forward probably, or a D, but I would say a first round pick and a fairly high end player, but younger as well, and sort of can help fit into the cap that, you know, that the Jets are going to have to, you know, they're where they are with their cap right now. So that's where I would start if I was Winnipeg. I don't think it's asking too much. You're talking about a 25-year-old big right-handed shutdown defenseman who can play in all situations. Those guys don't come along very often. Just entering the prime of his career, you sign Jacob Trouba, you know, to a 7 or an 8 year deal. The next 5 years, you're getting the best years out of Jacob Trouba, and that is something that's special. I think the Rangers are going to be hot on him. I think a lot of teams are going to be hot on him. But, I mean, I looked at it specifically at the Rangers, and I said, okay, they can trade that first-round pick that they got from Winnipeg back to Winnipeg, now that the Jets back in the first round, right? And that's the number 20 pick. And maybe like a Pavel Buchnevich or somebody like that, a goal scorer who hasn't really broken out, but could be on the cusp, had a good second half, you know, somebody like that, somebody who's got talent and who might have be primed for a bust out year.
Dan Rosen, our guest, one name that's been heavily linked to Vancouver and has been heavily put into trade conversations is Jason Zucker. He's on a reasonable contract. He's only 27 years old. I mean, what do you read into him being heavily into trade rumors, and, you know, why is Minnesota floating this name out?
Well, I think they want to change the dynamic a little bit in Minnesota. Paul Fenton's been there a year. He's seen what he has, what he likes, what he doesn't like. And I think he wants to, you know, we already saw him change the dynamic this year, trading Charlie Coyle here to Boston, who has been terrific, by the way, in the playoffs, Charlie Coyle, in a third line center role. But they, you know, they get back Ryan Donato, who's younger and can play. He's a center, and, you know, he's, you know, ready for an opportunity, and he showed pretty well in Minnesota after the trade. They traded Michael Granlund to Nashville, and they got Kevin Fiala, another younger player with a lot of potential who hasn't quite fulfilled it yet, but he can. I think that's, you know, it's sort of a rebuild on the fly, if you will, but, you know, in a way to get younger and faster and a little bit more dynamic, because that's the Wild were not very young, they were not very fast, and they were not at all dynamic. So I think that's maybe why they're floating Jason Zucker out there, because they want to get a little bit younger and, you know, a little bit faster. But he's a pretty good player to float out there. I mean, I think he's a top six forward. There's no question about it.
Only one of these teams is going to be obviously able to win the Stanley Cup. Everybody else is going to try to shake things up. If you're looking at the trade market right now in the lead up to the draft, what's one team that you expect maybe to be the most active or somebody that's willing to shake it up this June?
Well, that's a really good question. I wouldn't be surprised if the New Jersey Devils made a move, to try to beef up, you know, get better on the back end. In particular, you know, they're going to get Jack Hughes or Kaapo Kakko. I think Hughes, but we'll see. They already have Hischier. They want to entice Taylor Hall to continue on to be in New Jersey. I would not be surprised if the Devils make a move, especially after the season they just had and the youth that they still have. They're a team. I think the Rangers are going to try to accelerate their rebuild, which is why I think they want to go after Jacob Trouba. I think the top teams with the top two picks might be two of the more active teams in the offseason, to be honest with you. Tampa Bay is always interesting. I know Julian Brisebois said he doesn't want to overreact to a four-game sweep against Columbus, but a lot of people want to play in Tampa Bay, and it's just a matter of do they have the cap space to make it all work. I was asked a question in my mailbag, do I think the Detroit Red Wings are going to be active? And I don't think so. I don't think Steve Yzerman's ready to do that yet. I think if it means he can get a younger player, sure, but I don't think he's going to go crazy. So I would take them off the board. Montreal is going to be interesting. What are they going to do? You know, they can't keep going through these. The division's getting better, you know, and I think Florida's going to get better, whether more likely through free agency for Florida. Boston's good. Tampa's good. Toronto's good. Florida's going to get better, you know. Montreal's got to do something to keep up, right? So I'd look at them as well.
Dan, really appreciate the time. Enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals. Hopefully we'll talk soon.
I should also say Vancouver, by the way.
Yes.
I would imagine that they're going to do something, too.
Well, you just like stirring it up, eh, Dan?
You know what? They got to do something, right? They got a lot of pieces there, but they need something to bring it all together. What is it? That's the question.
That's the question Jim Benning continues to be asking himself, it seems, as well. Thanks for this, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Sportsnet 650.